place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were, because he was teaching his disciples. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days will rise." But they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. He came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all." He took a little child whom he placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name, because you belong to the Messiah, will certainly not lose the reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung around their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other."
Today's passage gives us a lot to unpack. And as I was studying it, the phrase "hard questions" kept coming into mind, and it wouldn't go away. So I took that as a hint. What do I mean by hard questions? Well, hopefully we'll see as we start packing this passage together, or at least part of it. This is the second time Jesus has told his disciples of his destiny. As they leave Galilee, they are heading towards Jerusalem, towards the destiny that Jesus has spoken of. The trouble is, as I said just now, what Jesus has said still isn't fitting in with the Messiah the disciples are expecting. And even though they're hearing what Jesus is saying, and perhaps on one level taking it in, it's fighting years, centuries, as we just heard, of what the Jewish people traditionally had been led to believe what the Messiah would be like, how he would act, and what he would do. And it's hard for the disciples to accept. And it's also difficult for them to tell Jesus what they've been arguing about when he asks them. Because perhaps deep down they were beginning to understand Jesus' message, and they felt ashamed. They knew They shouldn't have been arguing over this. It wasn't important. And this is where the hard questions comes in. Perhaps if the disciples had spoken to Jesus, just as they had when he began speaking in parables and they didn't understand, it would have been easier for them. But Scripture does not record them doing that. It records they were afraid to. Why? Why were they afraid? Was it because Jesus had chosen them? They were his inner circle, his closest followers, his friends. Perhaps they were feeling, well, we should know everything. We should be able to understand everything. We shouldn't need to ask questions. And then, if they did ask questions, would they be showing their ignorance, a lack of understanding? Especially as Jesus had told them earlier in Mark 4, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. Perhaps they thought, why don't we get this? Why aren't we understanding what Jesus is saying? We should know. And perhaps that is something many relate to today. For example, because of my husband's career, we have moved many times. And there's always that daunting moment you start a new church. Unsure. And you go along to the Bible study, and everyone seems to know so much more than you do. And you begin to think, why don't I know what they know? I've done Bible studies before. Suddenly, you may feel you can't join in because you'd show you don't know the Bible as well as them. And that can't be right if you're a Christian. And also, you'd look silly. Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we are scared to ask questions because we feel we should know. But the wonderful thing about being a Christian is when you become a Christian, you don't know it all immediately. We are continually being shaped and refined. It's an ongoing process. And I think part of that process includes asking hard questions. And there are plenty of hard questions that we can ask, as well as may be asked of us by family, friends, people in our parish. They need to be asked, to be discussed. We need to be aware of them. We need to be able to answer them as best we can. And this may mean we have to be honest and admit that we don't know the answer. But, and it's a wonderful but, we can introduce them to the one who does. If it's appropriate, we can share our faith if they don't know it already, or we can show them the depth of our faith and help them. I don't know, but I know that I trust God. Doesn't mean I have the answers. One of my friends has a strong Hindu background. He came from a long line of Hindu priests. When he was a young boy, they moved to England and settled in Birmingham. Many years ago, when he was at uni, he spent ages wrestling with the question, Why would Jesus die for him? He couldn't get his head around that. But he did, because he had good Christian friends around him who gave him time, space, and answered all his questions as best they could. He became a Christian in the past, probably 10 years now. He became a Baptist minister. It's a hard question he asked. It may not be our hard question, but it may be for others. Some questions we see as, that's really easy. But for someone else, it can be difficult and vice versa. Often, as Christians, as a church, we're asked, why is there so much suffering? Why does the human race seem so bent on destroying itself? Why do corrupt people seem to manage to break the law, yet what they do isn't illegal? I'm sure you can think of many more. We're part of this world as kingdom people, and we have to acknowledge these hard questions amongst ourselves. If we don't, we may become like the disciples and fall into the trap of arguing about insignificant things, distractions, a byline to the main question, and then we're not able to do the task, the mission we have been given to do. And all because we're too scared, too frightened to confront these hard questions. In the past, I've been the recipient of this when something happens that affects you personally. Some good meaning person will come along and say, it's God's will, don't worry. Does that answer, given not out of any flippancy, but just given because they're struggling with what you're going through, truly help someone who is struggling with grief or depression, financial worries? There's many others. As Christians, we need to be more than Job's comforters, where I'm sure you remember that the minute everything was taken away from Job, they looked at Job and said, well, it's your fault. You've done something wrong to upset God, because that's how God works. You get a blessing if you're good and God likes what you've done, and if you don't, no blessings. Well, we know that's wrong. But that was what they'd come to believe. No comfort at all for Job. We know salvation is by grace alone. But unfortunately, there are still those who teach salvation is by grace, but you've got to work for it. You've got to earn your salvation. How must they feel when they're struggling with something? Must they feel they're not doing enough? Why is God doing this to them? And if they feel they're not doing enough to have earned his salvation, well then, can they ever do enough? We need to be Jesus. We need to be kingdom people now, living kingdom lives today, so that people may see through us the love of Jesus and how that acts out, how it influences our everyday lives. It's not necessarily easy, but it's what we're called to do. And we have the Holy Spirit to guide us if we ask. because we too, just like children, can fall into the, habit of or something, saying, I can manage this alone. It's too little for God. He doesn't really need to worry about this wee problem. I've got it. That's not what God is about. So we shouldn't be afraid to ask these hard questions of God. I certainly did when my dad died. My dad was the youngest of 10. He'd had a horrible life. His own mother committed suicide very early on in his life. His one aim was, he was looking forward when he found out I was pregnant, to being a grandfather. He died just as Thomas was born. So I asked God, why? It just doesn't seem fair. These are hard questions. We have to ask them of God. We've got a church family. We can ask them. We shouldn't be afraid because we think we'll be looked down on by our church family or others for not knowing the answers. And we know there are many hard questions today. We've touched on a few. Perhaps for the majority of us in the church, and that's a church with a capital C, the biggest, toughest, most difficult, hard question we're facing at the moment is, why is the Church of Scotland restructuring? Many, many people are in need at this moment as the church is finding its restructuring itself once more. Don't worry, because the Church of Scotland is reformed. It's a reformed church. It is always reforming. It is something we do. But sometimes it just seems to hurt more than other times. And I think one of those times is now. We need to answer these questions for people as best we can, because we ourselves, like the disciples, may be finding ourselves facing a change in our expectations. And for many, many people in the Church of Scotland, we're breaking with what they always believed church would always be. And like the disciples, it's difficult for them to understand, because it's not how we thought it would be. In this and all the other hard questions, we really need to focus, to hear what Jesus is saying. Not get into discussions that are distractions. It's easy to take an easier route away from the hard question. Deep down, we know what we should be doing. We know what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do, and we should ask for the confidence and the courage to do that. When Jesus asked the disciples what they were arguing about, they couldn't bring themselves to tell him, because they were ashamed of the subject of the argument. They wanted to know that if the Messiah was a king like David, who was going to be his second in command? They were embarrassed. And Jesus knew, of course, what their argument was about. And he told them, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last, and the servant of all. Jesus is explaining to them, to us, how we should live as disciples. We shouldn't be living to seek praise because we're the second in command, or gain recognition for ourselves. Everything goes to Jesus. It's for Jesus we do this. Jesus is challenging us to be a servant to all. In Jesus' time, might be true today, I don't know, greatness was shown by how many people served you. Perhaps today people think greatness is shown by how many followers you have on social media. But Jesus is saying, true greatness is how many people we serve. And if being afraid to ask questions when we don't understand something is stopping us from doing that, then let's not be afraid to ask questions. God got challenged many times in the Old Testament. It's better to ask and be certain, thereby perhaps, when asked, enabling someone to encounter or continue their journey with Jesus, rather than through your fear of being answered the question, stopping or hindering their journey to find Jesus, with Jesus. As Lent approaches, I'm sure you've already got a course, but it came into my head, perhaps a course of study could be the hard questions. Questions we're afraid to ask. And one place where questions that are afraid to ask and be tackled can be found is Grasping the Nettle. I don't know if you've ever heard of that organisation. Google it. At the moment, the Reverend Martin Fair is the chair. They hold Zoom meetings. They have guest speakers. They tackle questions. They want to promote the gospel. They want to take Jesus to as many people as they can. They're willing to go into schools to tackle the hard question. And when I say tackle the hard question, one of their questions is, who is God? Well, who is he then? What does he do? They're not going to back down from the questions that we encounter from others. Hard questions about our faith can challenge us. Are we up for the challenge?